Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
It's hot, Joe.
Oh, it is. I really wanted this year to not wear shorts and flip-flops to work. But uh-huh. I just naturally get way too hot. It's an awful excuse because I know people right now are burning up in their office and they have to look good for work. I apologize.
There's issue with what you just said.
Okay, yeah.
Those don't belong in the same boat.
What?
Shorts and flip-flops. One is perfectly fine. The other is like, eh.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like shorts, no one will have a problem. You're wearing shorts
the
on a day like this into the... The flip-flops don't need to be thrown in with that.
Yeah. I guess I just assumed.
Offices all around the country, in the heat dome, as I've heard it, are seeing people walk in with shorts. People who don't normally wear shorts. People who go out and meet other people might be wearing shorts today just because it's too darn hot. Not one of them will be wearing flip-flops, though.
Yeah, it was a bad call on my part.
there is a difference, I think.
Well, I said, what better way to come back to the mornings, Brian, than in a typical Joe Beamer outfit?
That's good. No, you're wearing a collar.
That is true. I do like these BEN polos, though.
How many did you get?
Well, I have one. This is from the fair last year, and then I have the new one.
Okay. Like, wow, you're swimming in gear.
Yeah, and I got the quarter zip, so 3 days a week I'm in BEN stuff.
Right. Yeah, ready to go. Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer together again here on WBEN, taking your thoughts and calls, 803-0930. And, you know, we touched on one. Basically, there's two major topics of the day. One is the heat and just how hot can you handle, because it is crazy. I was out there cooking yesterday, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, literally, I got burnt shoulders and everything. So there's that. And there's the question that, I mean, last week the question was, should we? It's probably a question that's been asked on this radio station dozens of times over the last 30 years. Oh. Right? Should we bomb Iran?
Yeah. I mean, this isn't the first time it was asked.
In some way, shape, or form.
Right.
Like, over the course of the last few decades, it's come up many times before. I'm sure that's been asked multiple times. I don't know if this one has, though. Should we have bombed
now it's
Iran? Now that it happened over the weekend, and there's a lot of different ways to look at it. We had a great group of guests, including David Bellavia, on earlier this morning. If you want to hear more, David, he's on right after us, coming up at 10 o'clock here on WBEN. And there's a lot of interesting things about this. We talked to David, and I'm sure you'll hear him talk a little bit more about the planning involved, the operation itself. Really incredible, Joe, when you think of these planes taking off from the middle of the country.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I heard that after the fact, that is not what I expected. You know, you're thinking like, all right, some base somewhere. Like, no, they took off from Missouri.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And you had the flights that diverted, right? So the attention was somewhere else. You had the planes that refueled over the Pacific, so it picked up on radar. Oh, they're not coming in. They swooped in the other way. It's amazing. 37 hours on a plane, just the two of you.
That's wild. So three people is what David was saying?
Three people to a plane?
That's what David said earlier.
Okay. Well, David,
so I'll take his word for it.
Yeah, I believe him.
But you kind of like take shifts. You know, somebody is obviously flying the aircraft.
Yeah.
And then you get to, you know, someone can just stretch just a little bit. Someone could go to the bathroom.
Do you think everyone on the plane was up and alert when they dropped?
I have no idea.
I'm guessing. I'm guessing there. It's a three. The whole team's up for that.
I would have no idea what it's like in there, but that's why David comes up.
No, I mean, regardless if you agree or not with the bombing, I thought it was a really... I mean, successful in getting there and dropping the bombs. Again, agree with it or not. And it just shows how quickly our military can work and how under the radar they can when they have to be.
Well, that part that you just mentioned then, agree with it or not, brings up one of the, I think, just interesting things about this, you know, and that's the question we'll ask you, 803-0930. Should we have carried out the operation that we did over the weekend, dropping bunker-busting bombs on Iran to target their nuclear program? The reaction that you see from some corners online, Joe, I just don't know how, if social media had always been around, I don't know how this country would have survived.
Oh, yeah. Probably not.
But you know what? Like the amount of, you know, Tristans and Madisons I saw talking about, you know, I can't believe I'm going to war over this, and just reading all of the reaction to this over the weekend was kind of stunning to me, although not really. My reaction to the reaction was, well, this is why we have an army of volunteers, because no one's going to ask you
right
to go to. Like I just read on Friday this, you know, big new article. I mean, there's been, what, a million of them in the last 5 years, a big new article about how young people need ping pong tables and, you know, whatever in the break room or, you know, whatever to go to work. And that's like, nobody's going to ask you to go and do it. Like, there's no ping pong table on the B2.
You've been fighting to drive down the street to the office for 5 years.
Yeah. So. I mean, I guess some of the things you could do remotely, but you still have to go into an office right. to run the drone.
Yes.
It's not quite the same as what you experience on a day-to-day basis. But it does go into the thing that's brought up, and it kind of goes with the question of should we have or shouldn't we have. But it's what exactly did we do? Did we just end a war or did we start a war? It's the question that a lot of people seem to be wrestling with. I brought this up to David. New York Times had two different headlines, one in print and one online. And it's good that I think, in my opinion, the one online could be changed easier. In print, U.S. attacks Iran's nuclear sites. It is different. It is kind of a clear picture of how standards are different from what goes into print versus what you'll put online. Because online, the headline, U.S. enters war against Iran.
Oh, jeez.
Because that's a very different headline, isn't it?
Yes. You can have airstrikes and, you know, to end a conflict. Because that's what the goal is. The goal is to make sure that Iran doesn't have nukes to start a war. That was the goal. So the print headline was correct, in my opinion.
But they're two very different things.
Yes.
Which one of them is correct? I think the first one is factually accurate. Yes. It doesn't mean that the second one is necessarily incorrect, depending on what happens here. But
It's not correct yet.
Not correct yet. It's also the question in my mind of seeing the reaction from a lot of people. You know, it's mostly, and I was just talking to somebody out there of, you know, how this goes down, and they were asking me, well, what they did this without congressional approval, and like, is this crazy to do or what? And I was saying, you know, what you'll have is somebody, you know, in this case, you'll have President Trump will carry out this airstrike. It doesn't tell Congress about it. It's, you know, a secret mission. And then everybody over on this other side of the aisle will complain that they didn't get the approval of Congress. And then you rewind and you go to President Obama, and he'll do, you know, hundreds of different airstrikes in countries all over the Middle East. And then the other side, they'll say, well, why didn't you do anything or tell us to get approval to do any of these airstrikes? It's the same thing,
right,
played out over and over and over again. I think you just look, I think you almost look aloof if you're questioning the decision, or if you're really seriously bringing up, you know, oh, this is how could he do this without congressional approval? And I mean, this has been going on. I think, by the way, it is fair to question the constitutionality of doing something like this without congressional approval. Like, does it all fall under that law from 2001 that, you know, a president can act unilaterally and do an airstrike like this? I don't know, but you'd have to question all of it and not just one, depending on. You'd have to be consistent over the last 25 years now.
But you're asking for consistency in this political climate.
Which is not going to happen. But I think people just end up looking silly and tear us apart a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of wild to me how many people are just so quick to jump on whatever we do. It's like the exact opposite reaction you'd want to have. When was the last time we would have the reaction? Probably 2001, 2002.
I was going to say the beginning of the war on terror.
Where, you know, we would take a military action like this and it would be met with widespread approval.
Yes.
You almost have, and you know, some of the snap polls done on this, it's almost a 50-50 split of how many people are totally with it or totally against it. Which is, you know, from looking in the outside, is not what I would want to see. Because I think to be successful in something like this, you have to have the support of the people. And it really is important. Even if you're only talking about, you know, one airstrike, say this is it. This is, you know, aside from supplying Israel.
Right.
In terms of direct U.S. involvement, say this is it. Even if this is it, I still think you have to have the support of the people behind you just for morale reasons, for, you know, other countries, I think, look at the infighting and say, well, they can't. They don't know which way to go.
They don't have the support of the country.
I don't know.
And the thing that upsets me is how politics have gotten, or how our politicians have allowed politics to get into stuff like this. Because like you said, Brian, if Trump had a D next to his name, right, the people that are complaining about it would be supporting it, and the people supporting it would be complaining about it. And that's not the way it should be. So I was tuned in all Saturday.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
I mean, I could not. I was listening to our coverage because I was working an event. I could not turn away. And you know, I think over time we'll see what did this do? Did it end or did it start? But as I said on Thursday, and my limited knowledge of foreign affairs, I don't think Iran should have any capability for a nuclear weapon. And if this is what it took to make sure that that doesn't happen, job well done.
803-0930 for your comments. You can give us a call or a text on our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. On the text board, a few of them rolling in. Someone saying, I think America had no choice but to bomb Iran, because if we didn't do that, it would just be a matter of time before they used a nuclear weapon. Someone else, you can't declare war without congressional approval, which is kind of why the question of, U.S. enters war against Iran or U.S. attacks Iran's nuclear sites, it's a very different headline, and it's one with a lot of importance. Pete Hegseth, over the weekend, saying that the military strikes were strictly targeted at Iran's nuclear program. You had J.D. Vance yesterday saying that the administration's view has been very clear, we don't want a regime change. Then you have the president saying, hey, like, what about a regime change? I kind of think you need one strong, firm, consistent voice on what exactly the strategy is going forward. Because, yes, you can carry out this airstrike, I think, just based on the recent history of presidents being able to do that. But now if you are saying that you're joining Israel in the fight, if you are saying things like regime change, then it crosses into, hey, Congress does have a right to step in and say, what about us?
Yeah, I mean, you hear a lot of things like Congressman Langworthy said yesterday is, you know, it's up to the people of Iran when it comes to regime change, and then the president putting what he put out last night. Again, nothing new. I mean, we've been talking about regime change since the late 70s when the regime changed. And, you know, Iran became what Iran is today. But yes, what is the goal? Is the goal to make sure they don't have nukes and that's it? Or is the goal to make sure they don't have nukes and to have a regime change? And if the people don't act, in the words of, again, members of Congress, saying that it's up to the people. Okay, well, if the people don't act, then is America going to take further action? What exactly happens? And again, you're right. I mean, if America is going to get involved in this conflict more than airstrikes, then yeah, you need the approval. That's just the way it works.
Should we have, might also, depending on who you ask, be a different question than, did we need to? Because I think you can come out of Saturday and, you know, if somebody asks you, should we have done this? And somebody could say yes. And then, you know, this morning, you know, did we need to do this? Might have a different answer just based on what we saw from the lack of a response from Iran.
Right.
And it's something you heard David say with us earlier. You know, if this was a true world power that you really had to be concerned about, there would be a very swift response here. Didn't really get that, aside from more missiles being fired over at Israel. Did we need to? What capabilities did they really have? I think that's another problem that this whole weekend kind of showed is I think it's an issue, Joe, and I'm all for, you better hope I am all for, you know, given the job I have, I'm all for, you know, people questioning things and figuring out what the right answer is. But I do think it is a bit of an issue when you have people coming out and saying, okay, you know, Iran was week away or whatever from having a nuclear weapon that they were ready to fire. And the immediate reaction is, says who? Right? Like when you hear that from whether it's the president or whatever other authority, you want the reaction to be, oh, okay. Like, you want to be taken seriously.
Right.
But we've lost so much faith in all institution, starting with the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Yep.
And only really spiraling out of control since, I mean, you even take that into COVID and everything that's gone on since 2020. You now have this total lack of trust that I think is just a real issue where I look at the reaction and go, this is a problem. Whether or not you're asking the question or not, just the fact that we need to, or see if, or half the country feels like you need to ask the question, I think that's a real issue.
Well, and another reason with you know the way people are answering it is, I mean, I'm hearing different interpretations of the intelligence report, right? Again, along party lines. And to be fair, some on the Republican side also questioning the president's strike. But we hear about this intelligence report. We obviously haven't seen it. It's, you know, it's top secret. And you have some people saying, no, it didn't say that. And other people saying they were weeks away from a nuke. Again, we can't even get on the same page of what the same document says, which to me is just concerning about how things are run in general. Again, I'm not saying on one side or the other, just the way we're so divided that we let our divided politics take over literally everything that we do as a country.
That lack of trust in the people you're supposed to trust the most, it is, you know, it. If there was a direct threat on the U.S. to have half the country say, really? You know, what? Can I check your work on that? Like, that's not the reaction you want. It goes back to the aliens thing that we were talking about not that long ago, Joe.
Well, I mean, we had people yesterday on major news outlets saying, well, you know, death to America doesn't really mean they hate America. Like, we can't even agree on that.
Yeah.
That's where I just get fed up. And it's not a left or a right thing. It's just, I just want to be an American. You know, there are things, I say this all the time. People who hate us, you know, people who hate America, they don't just hate Republicans. They don't just hate Democrats. They hate Americans. And it's time that we start viewing things as Americans And it this just frustrates me, again, on both sides. It's like when Obama went in and took out bin Laden, but he's a Democrat, so if you're a Republican, you didn't cheer for that? I mean, that's crazy.
What do you think? 803-0930, B-Maz and Beamer back together again on WBEN. And for once, that guy isn't lying. It is, yes. Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer.
Hello.
On WBEN together. That's it's nice to have you back, Joe.
And we'll be together. I shouldn't make any promises, Brian. We'll be together.
I was going to say, watch your mouth.
We'll be together today. We'll be together tomorrow. I'll be here tomorrow, and I'll also be part of our primary coverage. And then, Brian, I'll be back doing the early morning with you on Wednesday.
Oh, there you go.
So looking forward.
I was going to say, the future is unwritten, so you never really want
to. But I will, I am, you know, looking, because, so Tuesday night, we're doing primary coverage, and then I'm going to come in on Wednesday. And my thinking was, well, with the way I've been sleeping, I wouldn't have gotten to sleep till midnight anyway. So, you know what? Why not? I'm going to have to throw myself back into the mornings eventually. Let's just get it done on Wednesday.
Yeah. Let's do it. 803-0930, 803-0930. We've been asking you your thoughts on the airstrike over the weekend. Should the U.S. have dropped the bombs on Iran? What do you think? We'll go to the phones. Mark in Tonawanda. Mark, you're on WBEN. Good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
I just had a comment here. So my research, now Russia and North Korea said, I guess we're going to be buddies now. We don't like the big bad USA bullying you and destroying your plans. So we're going to put some missiles on a barge. You won't send it over, so you're going to have your nukes anyway. So now what do? You got two options. Either you sink the barges on the way to Iran, and then you risk probably North Korean flag barges and Russian barges. So I guess what this is coming down to is, like Trump said, you're going to have to build a dome just like Israel does, and you cross your fingers and hope it works when all these idiots start pressing buttons. Because how do you defend against that? So all they did, which was noble, they destroyed the factory. But you know what I'm hearing is they're saying, well, guess what? You want a nuke? You feel threatened? Okay, we're going to send some over on some barges. So what are you going to do? You're going to let them set up, bring the nuke and set it up in Iran? You're going to bomb it again? I mean, what's the fallout from that?
Well,
this is such a... Nothing's easy today. This is very complicated. And just because you blew a couple of nuclear plants up, very noble, I don't have a problem with that. But for... You know how things are today. Everybody plays high-stakes poker today. So Iran's saying, I can't build it here, but I'll have it built somewhere else and bring it here. Either way, we're getting a nuke. So I wonder what the powers to be are going to... How they're going to figure that one out.
Mark, my thinking is, if the United States has intelligence of that, they'll make sure that something happens on the delivery.
Okay, that's the trick. If they have the intelligence. You don't think they're going to smuggle that, like everything gets smuggled all over the world? I mean, I'm saying it's possible, but I hope they got a heads up on that. And, you know, they see a cruise ship. You better stop that cruise ship and make sure nothing's in the bottom of that cruise ship being smuggled. Because I know, I mean, look what they get over in Gaza. They get smuggled everywhere. Israel's tough. They watch everything. My point is, it sounds good on paper, but if someone's going to do something, they're going to do it. So that's the dilemma right now. And I hope in Washington, they're actually thinking about that. What do we do if we see a barge? A Russian flagged ship. Do we have a right to sink it? Is that going to start World War III? So this, to me, is a very intricate, no-win situation. Everybody's clapping and cheering. Oh, we blew up their plants. Guess what? My research, they said, okay, you want to blow up my plant? I'm just going to smuggle it in. I'm going to get a nuke either way. That's the thing you ought to be focusing on right now.
Hey, Mark, thanks for the call. I would love to hear where he's hearing stuff. That's my figure.
I know.
Once he said that,
we
I
need
just
the
couldn't
bibliography.
Focus on anything else. Carl in Hamburg. Carl, you're on WBEM. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. Unfortunately, we're in this 21st century like this gentleman had indicated, high-stakes poker game. If you kind of look going back real quick in history, 50 years ago, the Shah was in power. Iran was a beautiful country, and then you had the hardliners come in, take over, just like they did in Cuba back, you know, in the 60s. Unfortunately, we live in these ages where we do have dictators, okay, who are going to try and take over and suppress the people because of their ideologies. The problem is, there is no really big problem with Iran at this moment. The only problem that I do see is, one, if there are nukes going to be shipped to them via some other country that's going to make it. But the problem that I do see is no regime change. And that's where we're not being involved in, okay? We're just getting rid of what the idle threat is, okay, through precision bombing. We're not targeting the people, because the people of Iran, like any other country that's suppressed, just like North Korea, those folks do not want this. They want to be free. They want to do what we do and the Europeans do, and even South America. They don't want this. They don't even want war. The younger generations don't want war. But the problem is that you still have at least, what, three or four wacky leaders of different countries, out there, you know, being hardline. You can't have TV. You can't have a computer. You can't have this. You're going to wake up in the morning dressed the same as everybody else, and you're going to salute me whether you like it or not. The thing here is that there is a domino effect. There will be regime change in Iran. It's not going to come overnight. But with us getting rid of what we needed to get rid of, did stabilize things a little bit. That's why the markets aren't really looking at this as a big thing. The markets are doing okay. There is a projection that moving forward, the markets and the economies will be okay. But when you start looking at the world as a whole, and who's shuffling nuclear weapons here and there, and who's trying to make them, who's the big players right now? Russia, China, United States, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Israel. These are the five, I think these are five nations that have nuclear weapons. The more people that get nuclear weapons, the more of a threat it becomes. We're only using nuclear weapons as an.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All-out deterrence. It's a deterrent to, say, Russia invading us and China invading us. But the thing is none of these countries are that stupid to annihilate each other, because they have nothing to win.
Well, the question, Carl, and thanks for the call. I mean, that is the question. What separates Iran from North Korea? What separates Iran from a lot of other countries that have a nuclear weapon? Well, that is the belief that Iran would be run by someone whose ideology would press them into using that in a way that is not happening in other parts of the world, where even if you have a brutal regime in another country that's a dictatorship or quasi-dictatorship or anything like that, their motivation is not driven by theology or any other ideology that would compel them to use that weapon against whoever it might be. But in this case, it would be Israel, and it's a certain group of people. So that's the fear with Iran, and, you know, why Iran, why not some of these other countries? But to the point that he mentioned of, how many other countries, the more people who have nuclear weapons, the more likely it is to be used. I mean, that is, if you watch the Oppenheimer movie a couple years ago, that was his exact fear, right? That once this was proven that it could be done, right, he said it's only a matter of time before everybody else figures out how to use it and can use it. It's not like a secret that no one else can figure out.
Right.
Except for us, it's kind of out there, and now you have to deal with this whole new world and new reality. And this is where we drew the line. We said, look, they're over here, nuclear weapons over there, not here. Not here because of that reason, because we believe, from everything that you've said, from everything that we've seen, that you would actually use it.
For sure. Once they got the capability, and they were, according to what we've heard, they were close to it.
Right, and then that's what we were talking about after the break. It's like that there's a questioning, and you know, there's nothing wrong with having a mind that questions authority. But
of course,
it is a problem. I think that you would have somebody, whether it's the president, whether it's anybody, in a position of authority, come out and say something as serious as, you know, hey, we believe that they, within a matter of a couple of weeks, would have the capability to deploy a nuclear weapon. That the reaction wouldn't be like, okay, you know, hey, we trust you. Let's go. What do we need to do here? The question is like, who says? Based on what? Eh, I don't know if I believe you. I was hearing. that's what it always is, right? It's like, I know the president said this, but I heard.
Yeah, you don't know what I heard. And I don't think the president's gotten it yet. I got to get his phone number.
Right, but like, that's crazy. That's what everybody does.
Yeah.
And for everything. Oh, you're doing that. Well, I've been reading some tweets and.
Yeah, exactly.
They say.
That's what it is. I've seen a bunch of blue check marks.
I feel like that's not great.
No.
I feel like that just doesn't mean.
I assume. Like I said, the problem is the people who have seen the same intelligence report telling the American people two different things. But I do assume the people in the Pentagon know what they're doing. And at the end of the day, I assume that what needed to be done was done. And again, this is the kind of thing that we'll see develop over time. We'll see how it plays out over time.
One and done, do you think?
At this point, I hope so. Do I think so? I can't honestly sit here and say I think so.
I mean, that's the problem. When you ask, I think a rational person and most people, like if you really press them on that question that's been asked, you know, as we said before, over the decades, probably dozens of times on different shows here on WBEN, should we bomb Iran? I feel like most people, if you really pressed them on it, would come to a point where they're like, you know, I'd prefer not to.
Of course.
But, like, that's what the answer would sound like.
Of course.
I don't really want to. I don't really want to bomb anybody.
No.
I don't want to. I don't want anything involving the military. If you get to this a critical point where all of a sudden there's a really big risk in the world because of it, then maybe you're forced into it, maybe you have to,
right,
or you feel like you have to.
But you want it as limited as possible.
I think that's what most people would say. Like, I don't really want to, and I think that's why, even though you're hearing different things, I think that is what the administration, at least, kind of sees out there. It's like, hey, you know, we've had airstrikes in the past, right? Libya, Syria, right, and Yemen. There's been airstrikes that the American people, honestly, for most people, didn't even notice or didn't seem, you know, they just went about their day. This one is a little bit different just because of the size and scope of it and what it followed. But
and the buildup to it. Like you said, it was talked about for the last at least week.
But they're willing to accept that. They're not willing to accept a further involvement.
Right. Like I said, I hope this is all it takes. I hope this brings Iran back to the negotiating table, and we can have world peace. that's my hope.
They're getting on that, Joe.
That's the goal.
It's right around the corner.
Just live together.
I know you've had the AC on since February.
April. I'll tell you, we had it on since April, but I think you'll be happy with us. We actually had to turn it up yesterday because in my son's room, we put new blackout curtains. The old ones weren't working so well. And it like dropped 3 degrees. Well, we can't have him freezing at night. So we turned it up a degree, and then in turn, we slept on the couch downstairs under the fan with the AC going.
So you turned it up. So to me, you saying we turned it up means that you cranked the air a little bit more.
I know. I meant we turned the temperature up.
But everyone
up.
Says it differently.
Yeah.
It's like we turn it up, it would make sense to turn the temperature up.
Yeah.
Not turn the AC up.
I know. I used to be the other way, and then I got called out so many times that now I...
See, now I'm the other way. And now we're all... No one knows what anybody means anymore.
But, you know, we like it cold in the house, and it's still nice, but it's funny how one method we used for blackout curtains, nothing, and these new ones, I mean, almost within a few hours, you could tell how much colder it was.
We have it, you know, 72 to 74 in the house during the summer. That's, you know, we don't overdo it.
Okay.
What? You're looking at me like...
We're 66, 67. Jeez. I thought that was normal.
The cooler? What the heck? My God. I mean, it says, I mean, the house stays nice and cool. At least I thought. Yesterday, walking in, it felt like you were walking into the icebox.
It did. It did.
Well, yours feels like you're walking in the icebox every day.
But that feeling when it's so hot outside, like we went outside, my son played with his little water table. And then you walked inside, and yeah, it really hit you.
66.
Well, I try 66. My wife likes 67, 68. I always, well, when she falls asleep, go down one.
Whew. That's
why the electric bill is so much higher.
I was going to say.
In the summer.
But
we, the windows upstairs get so much sun in. Like if you saw the layout, you would understand.
I would need a big bonus here.
It's really hot
to afford 66, I think, in my house.
But we're also conscious, right? It goes up when we're not at the house. You know, the dog suffers a little
bit. What's the rule on that? So I've been seeing people. Yeah, you know, I've been hearing, Joe.
Oh yeah. What's your research say, Brian?
I've been doing some research, and there are some people on the internet who say that's not the way to do it.
Oh.
Because that's the way you would think to do it. Like, we got the smart thermostat.
Yeah.
And that's what it says is, you know, all right, when you're not there, scale back a little bit, save yourself on energy.
But then you're using all that energy to get it back to where you want it when you get home?
That's what some people are saying.
Never thought of that, but it makes...
Keep it at a neutral temperature.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to work as much to cool it back down. It kind of makes sense.
That makes perfect sense.
But then it's running all the time.
Yeah. I guess we'll do that 1 month and compare the bill. That's the way to do it.
That would be the way to do it.
Yeah.
That's right. Someone does say $65 in my house. If we're spending money, we're spending money.
See?
That's the blanket mentality.
Yeah.
Bleep it mentality where, you know, you're spending money. It's like, you know, we just bought this hot water heater. Yeah, might as well buy a new pair of sneakers, too.
But it is summer. I mean, to that point, it is summer. And I've always said, you know, in the summer, we have less streaming packages, right? We go down a tier on TV, like, because we're outside more. We're not sitting in front of the TV. We're outside. We're enjoying the weather. That money is now spent in AC. And then that money will go back into television when we're back stuck in the house. Does that make sense?
Yeah. The next person said we keep ours at 74. I think that's...
It all depends on your house, too. Like, it does depend on the location of your house.
It depends on how warm it is outside, too.
Right. Some houses get warmer than others.
I mean, Joe, in the winter, we do keep ours at 68, furnace.
Yeah. But see, we're consistent. We have the same number all year round.
That's, but like 74 when it's like yesterday or what today is going to be outside, 74 feels cold.
Oh, I'm sure.
You walk in, you are refreshed. Like, I was not complaining about 74 at all.
My parents are awful about 74, I think, might be the lowest they go. And their house felt cool when I dropped my son off this morning. So, yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, it feels cool. Today, one of the few days I use the AC in the morning. Hardly ever happens driving into work.
Oh.
Had to do it today. It was near 80.
Did you still heat your seat?
No.
Okay.
No. All right. That won't happen in the summer. That won't happen.
That's good.
We'll be back here tomorrow.
Great to be back. We'll be back here tomorrow. Primary day. And I'll be on here with Brian and then primary coverage with David at night. So looking forward to speaking with you then. David Bellavia is up next after the news with Lucas on WBEN.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.